Almighty, loving, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day, the day of our Lord's resurrection, and the day appointed for Thy people to come before Thy holy throne in worship, adoration, and prayer. And now we, Thy people, cry to Thee, O Lord our God, be Thou most gracious and merciful, we beseech Thee. Look down from Thy holy throne upon these Thy servants, gathered here in holy worship, on this day that is appointed by Thee for us, for the refreshment of our souls and spirits, and for the resting of our bodies. O Lord our God, we bless Thy holy name, that we have this privilege to approach unto Thee as a corporate body of believers on the Lord's Day. May Thy Holy Spirit now come and search our hearts, O Lord, for we have many times in the past week offended against Thy holy law, and where we have sinned, Lord, show it to us that we will not hide anything, that everyone who names the name of Christ, every Christian, will even now before Thee make right with God, confessing every iniquity, every offense against Thy holy commandment, every sin, that all these may be washed under the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank Thee for a week behind us. We have received and received much from Thee. Teach us, O Lord, in the receiving, to acknowledge Thy great goodness to us, to give us so much of Thy blessing undeserved, and how we in the receiving may learn the lesson of gratitude, to be thankful and never to be unmindful that truly without Thee we can do nothing. All that we have, all that we are, comes from Thee. So Lord, teach us evermore, every day, in our prayers to give thanks. O Lord our God, teach us evermore to pray, to speak with the Father morning, noon and night. Perchance there are some of Thy children who are still strangers to the throne of grace. May Thou speak to them in the quiet, still, small voice to touch their hearts, to cause them to turn to Thee in repentance, in filial love and piety, to seek the Father's face first thing every day in the morning, last thing every day at night. O Lord our God, bless this congregation, all our families, and we remember those because of sickness or infirmity and weakness or other conditions are not with us today. We remember the pastor, that You will be very gracious to him in his infirmity. May Thou raise him up by Thy almighty power for many more good days and years of service to the glory of Thy name. For Elder Mahadevan also, we remember him. May Thou strengthen him and encourage him in his days of weakness in hospital. And for the rest of us, we each one have our problems, Lord. Thou art the great comforter, the great burden bearer, trouble solver. O Lord, be very gracious to all Thy people here. Whatever our problems are known to Thee, may Thou be so good, gracious, and merciful to us, to lead us back into paths of righteousness for Thy name's sake. I pray for the children of the Sunday school as they have left us. May Thou use the teachers in a mighty fashion to impart Thy word of truth, that young lives may be brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ before the world gets them, that they will be won for the kingdom of God and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, bless the testimony of True Life Bible Presbyterian Church. Bless pastor, elders and deacons and all those in places of leadership. May thou bless mightily and raise up more young men, young women to be valiant for thee, to do and to dare and to go forth, to be witnesses, to be leaders in the future for this church. Now, Lord, bless our government, the newly elected government, that they will rule with fairness and justice, and thou wilt bless them in a mighty way, and through them, us also, that we may be blessed with days of peace to press on with the unfinished great commission thou hast given to us. Now, Lord, bless the preaching of thy word. Grant that thy Spirit himself will be our teacher, according to thy promise, that the Comforter will instruct us and lead us into all truth, that this truth, coming into us, convicting us, will set us free from all sins and unrighteousness. This is our prayer. We wait upon thee, O Lord. We pray this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You have a handout here, two hymns, two choruses. We are going to sing this at this time. The first one is in Chinese, but it is romanized Chinese, Hanyu Pinyin. So let's look at the first one. Tian Tang Shi Wo Jia. Have you all got it, please? It's in the loose white sheet. All right, listen carefully, and we are going to sing. Tian Tang Shi Wo Jia, meaning to say, heaven is our home. Yeah. Hui Jia Ba means let's go home. What are we tarrying on earth for? Because this earth is not our home. We are just passing through. Shi Jie Wu Ke Kua, meaning to say, there is nothing worthwhile on earth for you to put your hopes on earth. Nothing, absolute, empty and frustrating on earth. And again it says, 天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂. Okay, hear the music. Give us the first note and we'll sing.
天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂. 天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂.
Most of you are afraid of Hanyu Pinyin, are you? You're not singing, you're looking at me. Okay, all together, try it again.
天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂. 天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂.
Now look at me and sing.
天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂. 天堂是我家,回家吧, 世界无可挂.
This chorus has been precious to me for 75 years. You know that? Ever since I was a little boy. It was sung at the revival meetings of Dr. John Sung. And when you sing this and the Spirit works in your heart, your love of heaven grows and earth becomes nothing at all. 世界无可挂, meaning to say, this world is empty, it's nothing, it's nonsense. Let's sing this, please, everybody, sing with your voice and your spirit together.
天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂. 天堂是我家,回家吧,世界无可挂.
kwa. Now you must follow with the next one, which says, coming home, coming home, never more to roam. This one we sing in English first together. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Soon wide thy arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. Now we try in Mandarin. It says here, 归家吧，归家吧， 不要再流荡， 慈爱天父， 天父， 伸开双手， 渴望你回家， 渴望你回家， meaning to the Heavenly Father opened wide his arms, welcoming you home to heaven, singing now, 归家吧，归家吧， 不要再流荡， 慈爱天父伸开双手渴望你回家。 Do not roam in this perishing world with a heart in the world. You are in a very perilous situation. These two choruses sung together will revive your hearts and cause you to love heaven and not afraid of death. Anyone here afraid of death, sing this, and this will drive away all the fear of death. 天堂是我家, together.
天堂是我家, 回家吧, 世界无可挂。 天堂是我家, 回家吧, 世界无可挂。 归家吧， 归家吧， 不要再流荡， 慈爱天父伸开双手， 渴望你回家。
Thank you. Oh, my friends, the title for today is, Are You Afraid of Death? And someone says, you spoke on that recently. You're always thinking of death. What's the problem? Answer is, because death is always thinking of you. You don't like death, but it occurs all the time. In the last 3 weeks, I've had to conduct 4 funerals. 4. The last one, I flew down to Melbourne. This was on the 1st of May. Labor Day. Everybody is having a holiday. I flew down. This young man of 28, I said this, dear friends, because we had a church in Melbourne. He and his family, father, mother, himself and the sister, 4 of them came. I remember those days. This young family from Singapore, 1991. And they heard the gospel. And this young man was the first to believe and said to the parents, we must get baptized to make a confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were. I was so happy. The father works for Straits Times. I say, how come? You say, he's in Melbourne working for Straits Times. I said, today there are a lot of businesses that are conducted offshore, away from here, by what? Computers. So while he was there, he's working for Straits Times. A year ago, this young man of 28 was engaged to be married. 28 at the prime of life, just beginning into this world of wealth and business. Engaged to be married, didn't feel well. They did some investigation, extensive cancer. Wedding was postponed, engagement call off, and for 1 year he gradually went down and died on the 29th of April. Dear friends, life is but a shadow. Life is so fleeting, like the morning dew, it comes and goes. Like a flower is soon cut off. So I went down to comfort the family. And the thing that blessed us was the testimony of this young man. Yes, listen carefully. In 1 year, while the cancer ravaged his body, he never complained about himself, nor his, you like to call it bad luck. But he says, God has a purpose in my life. And his one dominant thought was, my parents, you didn't go to church on Sundays for the last few years because of business. Return to serve the Lord. My peers, young men, many of them have left the church because of the world. Return. 1 year he preached. That was his testimony. Many of them returned. When I went down, these testimonies were heard from his father, from the fiancé who is now bereaved of this young man. But I say, dear friends, if my going down to Melbourne in 1986 to begin this church ministry had only brought this young man and the family to the Lord Jesus Christ and to hear that testimony, how God used him, I say that effort of 1986 was worthwhile. Even to save one family, and to think that effort in 1986 has given rise to two churches with about 300 people today. What are we doing in this thing, you say? I say we are in the most wonderful, the greatest industry on earth. The only multinational corporation that never will disappear. Whereas all the MNCs on earth one day will disappear, all of them. Only the industry of the gospel of Jesus Christ will never disappear. It is an everlasting, wonderful work of God. I thank God for this. And you know, when I return, our very good friend's son rang up. Father is dying and very frightened of death. So at that time, my brother rang me. He says, can you come and preach here? I said, what shall I preach? I shall tell you all about frightened of death. That's why I'm preaching today on this. Are you worried, dear friends? Frankly, ask yourself, are you ready? Supposing you're told you have 24 hours to live, what will you do? The purpose of my saying this morning, preaching on this, is that none in this congregation will leave this door without settling that question. What will happen to you when you die? Do you know? Some people say, how can I know? Yes, I hope for the best. I say, dear friends, I'm not telling you that you should not hope, but you ought to know. It is a knowledge given by God to every Christian, and therefore I have given you to you this extra sheet, which I will revise at the end of the sermon. You have this sheet, haven't you? Please. I printed this, by the way, this morning at 9 o'clock. Yes. It came to my head as I meditated. I told my secretary, quickly type it, fax it back to me, and I ran it off the copier and cut it into two and bring it for you. All right. No fear of death. So that instead of just listening to the message, you can take this home after the message, and this will remain with you for many, many days to tell you, firstly, no fear of death, dear friends. If you are a Christian, you have no business to be afraid of death. That doesn't mean to say that you are not a little nervous. That is normal. You've never been through that valley of the shadow of death. None of us have walked that pathway, have we? Of course not. But all of us have a certain nervous feeling. How will it be? What is the answer? You know the answer? Psalm 23, it says, verse 4, yea, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear. I shall fear no evil because you are with me. My friends, if you know what's ahead of you through that door called death, what is ahead waiting for you, the Savior waiting to welcome you, you will not want to live on this earth for very long more. Your desire is, I want to be there where the Lord is. He has prepared a place for me, waiting to welcome me. What is this earth? It is full of sorrow and troubles and tribulations and so many things. And cancer all the time. Talking about cancer, yesterday I had a call, another call. A church member said, can I come and consult you? I said, what about? Oh, my daughter went for a routine check and found to have 2 growths inside her abdomen. I said, by all means, come along. Another case of cancer. Oh, my friends, all these things seem to send a chill down the spine. Can it be me? Will it be me next one? You never know. What is your insurance? My friends, don't think of life insurance. You need eternal life insurance. You need Jesus Christ to be your Savior and to have that knowledge and that confidence. He is with me. He has saved me. In Christ, I have no fear of death because He is my good shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you know that? Do you have that confidence? So I say, dear friends, if you are a Christian, you need not fear death. If you are not yet a Christian, right? I speak to those who are sampling our wares, yes, shopping around. Where will I get the truth? I say, this is the truth. This is the truth that Christ Jesus died for us, that we, believing Him, should not die. No fear of death, because He has conquered death for you and for me. And putting your faith in Him, you have victory over death. Then you will want to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? For He has died for you, to make your life worthwhile living. You, therefore, look at verse 1. Verse 1, the first one from on your sheet, before I go to the main text. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. They say, hey, what's that? What do you mean by to die is gain? It's better to die. Complete the sentence. It doesn't mean it's better to die, but it is better to die in Christ. If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, you put all your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him as your Savior, it is better that you have already died by God's calling. Not suicide, please. Yeah. When God calls, it's better He calls me. So I say, they ask me, why should a young man of 28 die? Why? Why? Do you know why? We are all like a flower garden that God is tending. Flowers in His garden. Who is to say He's not to come to you and say, this flower I like today, I like this one to come. And you are plucked, you are gone. Who called you? The Savior, the one who tends the garden, wants you. I said, that is your good fortune. When God calls, thank Him. Therefore, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Oh, if God wants me and calls me, it's far better to be with Him. This is what it says. Next verse, Philippians 1:21, 23. Please make a correction. Philippians 1:23. To be with Christ is far better. Have you got that conviction already? Do you know Him so well that you say, my Lord saved me, my Lord prepared a place for me, my Lord is waiting for me to be with Him? Is it better than to be here? Answer is absolutely. To be with Him is far better, far better. If you know what is ahead, do you know? I said, today, please, let us be very, very realistic. So then you can go. Verse 3. A marvelous change comes to you in death. This is written by the psalmist David. He says, I shall be satisfied. Lord, on this side of eternity, there are so much of world woes and troubles. Haven't you? Troubles today, troubles tomorrow, every day there are troubles. This earth is never without troubles. So when you have arrived there, you say, I shall be satisfied. When I awake with thy likeness, there is going to be a great change in death. You know that. Body rots, but God gives you a new body. A new body to come. And when you wake up with that body, you say, wow, what a wonderful salvation that Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, purchased for me. Makes it available to you. What is it? You will have a new body. Your new body will be restored to the original, perfect, like Christ, like God. Do you remember? Genesis chapter 1 says, we were made in Adam. Adam was created in the image of God and after His likeness, like God. Here it is. When you have died in Christ, He will raise you up in the likeness of God again. Where does it say so? Psalm 17:15. Please see there and take this home with you. Psalm 17:15. All right? What does it say here? I shall be satisfied. Oh, you're so afraid of death. But when you look to the Savior, He walks with you. He says, I'll never leave you. I'm with you always. And He walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death. And when you arrive there, you say, I shall be satisfied. I will awake with thy likeness. Don't be afraid of death. This is the promise of God's word. Do you know? To whom? To you. To you who believe. Now, finally, verse 4. Where do you go after you die? Where do you go? Some people say there's a halfway place where you go there and take some time before you get to heaven. And there you get purified. I said, dear friends, this is God's word. When you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Instant. You are instantly taken to the presence of God. You say, how do you know? Answer, God's word says so. In many places it says so. Remember the Lazarus the beggar and the rich man? And they both died. And what happened to Lazarus? Immediately, instantly, angels took him into the presence of God with Abraham. And there he found his rest. How long does it take from here to Abraham? How long? Speed of thought. You know what is speed of thought? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's so fast. Immediately. Angels will take you, dear friends. You don't have to go by any kind of express except the heavenly express. And God will take you right there. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. Now let's turn to the text. 1 Corinthians 15. We have not much time, so you got to concentrate, please. I have to rush. Verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is the most wonderful chapter in the whole Bible for those who are afraid of death. You read this through once, twice, three times, 10 times, God will speak to you. Verse 19 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Here the Apostle Paul says to you and me, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I say this, most stupid, most pitiful. Why should they believe in a Savior who gives you a comfortable life only on earth? And then when it comes to die, you die like a fly again and you perish like a dog. What for? No use. Now read on. Now our Savior is risen from the dead, becomes the first fruits of them that slept. He is the example of those who will die in Christ. That's what it says. Slept is the Bible term for death. And this refers to those who die in Christ. Now, read again. Now is Christ risen from the dead. And He is the first fruits of you and me who will die in Christ. First fruits means He is the leader of a group of people. Leader. First fruit. You go to a fruit tree. And the season of ripening has come. And the first fruit ripens. That's Jesus. This first fruit's ripening is a guarantee that all the rest of the fruits will ripen. True? This is a biological fact here. You have a tree, you understand. There's one fruit ripened, the rest will follow. We are like the fruit. Jesus Christ is the first fruit. He has risen from the dead. It's a guarantee that you in Christ will also conquer death. Our greatest enemy on earth is death. Enemy number one is death. That's why you have so many hospitals, more and more hospitals. As more and more people grow old and more people get cancer and all kinds of diseases, what for? Because of death. That is our number one problem, greatest enemy. Now it says, in Christ, you have victory over death. Why need you fear death? There is no need to. Read on. Verse 21, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. I read this again. You follow, please, carefully. For since by the first man, Adam, came death. Adam sinned, and because of his sin, he plunged the whole of creation into a curse, and mankind into death. This is a sentence passed upon us because of what? Adam. Now he plunged us into death. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, lived perfect and died sinless death and conquered death for you and me. We in him have victory over death. Read on now, you understand. Verse 21. Since by Adam came death, by Jesus came also the resurrection of the dead. Are you a believer? Again, I ask you. Don't assume that you are a believer if you don't believe. Please be very careful. I say that again. If you have not come to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, look to him in faith on the cross and say, Lord Jesus, I know you are the Son of God. The sinless, perfect, holy Son of God died for me. Please be my Savior. You are saved. Have you come to that situation? Come to that acceptance of Jesus? Have you? If you have not, don't pretend that you are a Christian. You are not. You are not a Christian. You must come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, please save me. I am a sinner. Now, verse 22. As in Adam, all die. No exception. True? Right. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. I ask you, are you in Adam? Answer, yes. Everyone is in Adam. All die. Now I ask you, are you in Christ? That one you can answer. I cannot answer for you. Are you in Christ? You say, yes. I say, amen. But prove it. In my heart I know. Look to the Savior when I heard the gospel. I received him as my one and only Savior, none other. You are saved. You are in Christ. Are you in Christ? This is my question again. Make no mistake about it. Are you in Christ? If so, I say, praise the Lord. Alright, now read on. Verse 23, every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ. At his coming, may you continue faithfully to serve the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes again. My time is up because there is the Lord's Supper coming now. I want to go through with this with you. Please look again. There is no fear of death, although death may be coming your way. But I can tell you this. While there is no fear, you cannot say there is no sorrow. When death strikes, it is very painful and very sad. And that is inevitable. You cannot avoid that one. Husband will grieve for the wife. Wife grieve for the husband. Father grieve for the son. Son grieve for the mother, for the father. There is sorrow. But it doesn't say that in Christ there is no sorrow. But I say that in Christ there is no fear. They're different. So if you're afraid of death, come to the Lord Jesus Christ and hang on to him. Hold on to him. Beg him to have you and follow him. Alright. Now, this is a sure promise. All these things I've said to you this morning did not come out of my head or out of any other thing or book. Only out of the Bible, the one book. God has given you these promises. Hang on to it. Let me tell you again, at 9 o'clock, I quickly printed this, and you know, it is on the A4 size. I got to cut through until I was full of sweat. I said, never mind, let me sweat for you. Here it is. Please don't throw it away. I'm telling you this so that you understand the amount of trouble that I did it at 9 o'clock before you. I come here. So read this. 4 points. There are many more verses in God's Word. There are hundreds of verses to assure you, but I give you just 4. Why? My brain cannot take more than 4. Can your brain take more than 4? I give you 4. Then you won't trouble, you see. It's quite easy. Read this. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Why do I live? You ask yourself, why do you live? Can you say, I live for my Lord Jesus Christ. Every day I think of how to serve Him. Do you? Do you? Honestly? Ah, here's the test. If you live every day for Him, you will not be afraid to die. Okay. You can say, to die is gain. To die is good because my Lord is waiting for me. I want to go to Him. That is gain. My father, my mother, my brother, my sister are there. I want to see them. This is gain, right? Now, here it is. Number 2, to be with Christ, far better. Up there, no headache, no cancer, no sickness, no pain, no parting, no death. Forever and ever and ever. That's the promise. That's yours for you to have. So why not? When God calls, be happy and go. Number 3, I shall be satisfied when I awake. You will be a different person. Today, so many people look at the mirror every day and get worried more and more because every day don't go prettier, but go older and more lines and wrinkles and you got worried. There are some people sit there for 1 hour every morning and make their face up. When you get to heaven, it says, I shall awake with thy likeness. Not physical features just, you know. You will have perfect physical features. But God will give you a new nature. You will not want to do bad things. You don't want to think of bad things. You want to see bad things. No more. No more. Your nature is changed. You are like Him. Then, how soon can you have it? When you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You don't go to purgatory, please. There is no such place. This is an invented thing. Invented so that people think, I better get out of purgatory. No, you don't. You get out of death straight away into life with Jesus. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, grant that we may all be filled with the joy of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He saves to the uttermost. Not saved only in this life, but saved for everlasting life, to be with God forever and ever. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, Amen.